Take your Bibles, if you would, please, today, and open up to Esther chapter number 4 in the Word of God. Esther chapter number 4 in the Word of God today. And for those of you who are visiting with us, this is part 7 of a series now that we've been looking at, Heroes of the Faith. Heroes of the Faith. We came through the life, really looking at parts of Moses' life. And now this is part 7, kind of in a verse-by-verse context, but moving a little bit faster here in the last several chapters, looking at the life of Esther, today we're going to once again dive into the 4th chapter. So as you find Esther chapter number 4, would you please stand with me for the reading of God's word today, Esther chapter number 4. I just want to say to everyone who is involved in music, thank you so much. You know, all the orchestra, I know they get here early, the choir gets here to practice, and has the music just been phenomenal today? Amen. And it's really quiet. Like, it's starting to get awkward. Like, nobody's amening. Some people are frowning. Like, are you okay? Everybody okay? We're good today? There are some smiles. Now we're getting somewhere. I love it. In fact, Cole, who played on the piano just a little bit ago, for some of you probably couldn't see this, but where we were sitting, he played that piece with no music. Yeah, wow, George. Isn't that amazing? Like, I'm shocked. If I knew how to play the piano, that is how I'd play the piano. Let me tell you, that was incredible. But I just want to thank everybody. Man, just amazing coming in and worshiping God in music today. But let's dive into the reading and the preaching of God's word. And let's look at Esther chapter number 4. Would you look with me at verse number 7? Verse number 7, the Bible says this. And Mordecai told him of all that had happened unto him and all the sum of the money that Haman had promised to pay the king's treasuries for the Jews to destroy them. Verse number 8. And he gave him the copy of the writing and decree that was given to Shushan to destroy them, to show unto Esther, and declare it unto her, and to charge her that she should go unto the king and make supplication unto him, and to make requests before him for her people. Esther, remember, up to this point, nobody knows she's a Jew. Her people are about to be destroyed. For the next couple of moments, looking at this hero of the faith in Esther, I want us to look at the subject simply entitled Courage. Courage. Let's go to the Lord in prayer today. Father, I ask you, Savior, that you would meet with us and be with us. Father, in this time, we can fly through a prayer, a message, an invitation, and almost feel good about ourselves. Ah, I was in church today, Lord. I opened my Bible. I brought my Bible today. I have my app open on my phone or on my tablet. We're good, right, God? But Lord, help us to remember that our righteousness is as filthy rags. It's not us coming in, getting through a prayer, getting through a message. Boom, invitation, slip out, shake a few hands, and if we feel like it, we'll be back at 6. No, Father, we are the church. We are the bride. And Father, I ask, Lord, that you speak to us as individuals today. Father, we need you. Father, I need you. Hide me behind the cross today. May we see you in this passage. Thank you for giving us the story of Esther. Lord, what a life. It's amazing, Lord, when you begin to dig in your word, how some will say, oh, there's nothing here for us. But Father, it's alive and it's very applicable to us today. Savior, use it in our lives. We love you. In your son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. When we left off looking at the life of Esther, remember this decree had been given. Haman really in his deceit had gotten his eyes on Mordecai, the one man who would not bow to him. And so therefore, because his focus was on one man, and because he did not like this one man, that became truly his outlook at life. And he did not like Mordecai. So to get back at Mordecai, he goes to the king and really brings him this untruth, these lies about the Jewish people. They don't really add to society. They don't really help in our economy, and they're not really good. So why don't we take some money out, pay some people, and let's get rid of them. the king, without listening to both sides, gives a ring, here, sign this law, and that's it. And what we saw last week was there was real weeping amongst all of the Jewish people. This is it. This is them. They are done. This is the very end of their life. That's where we left off. And today we begin to see now in verse number 8 where Mordecai is going, and he is going to go to Esther and begin to ask Esther, beg Esther, if not really just tell Esther, you got to go before the king. You have to take care of this. You are a Jew. And up to this point, she had not told anybody that she was Jew. They did not know this. Would you look with me at verse number 9 here in this passage of scripture? Verse number 9, the Bible says, and Hatak came and told Esther the words of Mordecai. Again, Esther spake unto Hatak and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. Here's what she's going to tell him. Now listen, Mordecai, I know you want me to go, but look at verse number 11. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know, and that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court, who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold up the golden scepter, that he may live. And I have not been called to come unto the king, watch this very carefully, these 30 days. Mordecai here is encouraging Esther to seek King Xerxes' help and to go and on behalf of the Jewish people. But Esther is saying, look, Mordecai, I want to, and she's telling this messenger to go to Mordecai, but we've got a problem here. You have to be summoned in front of the king. You just can't walk in there. It's not just a democracy. You walk in, hey, I got to talk to him. This is not write a letter. It's not going to shoot an email, a messenger. No, you cannot do what you want me to do. Also of concern, the king had not requested her presence now for 30 days. So we're talking about a month has gone by, and she has not been to talk to the king. And what that would have meant at this time is most likely he was tired of her presence, or she was not helping the king's appetite, even in the way that she was chosen to be queen. And so 30 days had gone by, which would tell Esther things are not good. This is not normal. Now, before you and I just brush this off, we have to remember this is very serious. It's hard to jump into this story and really to understand, but we got to put ourselves in these circumstances that the Persian Empire at this time, I mean, they're a ruthless people. You just don't do whatever you want to do. You just don't want this. No, we're not talking about the United States of America. It's not freedom. What we are talking about here is that if she walked in, death is not out of the question. In fact, there's a really good possibility that if she does what Mordecai wants her to do, it's going to be the end of her life. It's been 30 days. Nobody walks into the king's court. If you walk into the king's court under Xerxes and you haven't been summoned, it's immediate death. The only way you are getting out of it is if the king were to hold up his golden scepter and you reach out and touch it, and then you may do business or talk to the king. Look at verse number 12. They told Mordecai Esther's words. Now watch this in verse number 13. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. Look, Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape into the king's house. Watch now, more than all the Jews. Now stop right here for just a moment. What Mordecai begins to tell her is, hey, Esther, look, at this moment, we've got to have you. Now, if I walk in there, Mordecai, I'm going to be killed. You can't think about yourself in this circumstance. You have got to think about others. You've got to think about your family. You've got to think about the Jews. You've got to think about your people, the people you grew up with. Now, before you and I just move on and, okay, good, great, got it. Oh, we're okay with that. No, you and I have got to comprehend that the same has got to be true with our lives today. In our life stage group, I began to talk about this morning, rooting out this root of bitterness that gets into our life. And oftentimes we allow unforgiveness to get into our life, and then we begin to water that. And as we water that, it becomes our entire outlook in life. Somebody did me wrong. Somebody didn't treat me right. My spouse else hurt me. A coworker said something about me. Somebody insinuated something on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, and it hurt me. And all of a sudden, they live the next 5 months, 5 years, the next 10 years, watering that root of bitterness. And what becomes or what comes out of that is really a selfish life. And if there was ever a day and age where we need to hear from behind our pulpits in America that we can't stop, we have to stop living our lives for me and what's best for I, and the world revolves around me and my family, and comprehending that day is today, friend. May you and I get out of this mindset that it's me and it's my politics and it's my family and it's my 401k and it's my life and it's my ministry. Let me tell you something, friend. The moment that you and I take our lives into our hands and begin to act like we are God, little g, or begin to act like the world revolves around us, we have forgotten that there is a God in heaven that sent his only begotten son to die on an old rugged cross, and that Jesus lived a very selfless life, friend. And if our ultimate goal is to come to church so we can check off our little duty that, oh, we went to church today, no, then we're going to walk out that way. But if we walk in here thinking, I want to change, I want to be different, I want to grow in God, I want to be more Christ-like, I want to be more like my Abba Father, my Savior, then you and I are going to begin to take on his life and who he is, and we're not going to live for me and my family, and who we want it our way. And if we don't get it our way, friend, let me tell you something. It's not our way. It is his way. He is our Savior. He is our life. We are not our own. We have been bought with a price. What Mordecai is telling us is you can't think about yourself. The same is true in our life today. You and I cannot live a life that's based on what I want and my needs and nobody else. No, no, no. We got to start thinking about others, friend. Before we jump all over Esther's game, boy, Esther, boy, she's just so selfish. When's the last time you were faced with a dilemma where if you stepped out and had a little courage, your life was going to be taken from you? It's probably not very often, I'd say, if ever. But yet, isn't it amazing in our little American culture how we become so to ourselves? I know I'm speaking to the choir today, and man, I love Cross Point. I love our church family, and what God's doing here is truly incredible. But church family, I want to tell you something today. I'm warning us as a family. We can become so independent and so our little club and so our little worship style and so our little standards and so our little preferences and so our little, that all of a sudden we become selfish with the very thing that God told us to go and to give to all the world. If that makes sense today, would you say amen? No, it's not about us. It's not about the shepherds. It's not about our life. It's not about, look at Cole Day blow up on there in that piano. And boy, look at Brother Ben up there leading. Look at Brother Palencia leading the orchestra. Look at our choir. And boy, I'm just on. Look what we can do. We can really put on a show. Let me tell you something, friend, to help us out. This is not a show. This is you and I coming to meet with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the moment we think it's all about us is the moment we have shooed the Holy Spirit out of here. And we might as well take off Cross Point and paint Ichabod on the roof, because you and I have become, look, it's us and no more in our way and our what we want. No, friends, may you and I be an Esther and take the advice from Mordecai. It's not all about us. It's all about the king. It's about him. Look at verse number 14. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but that thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Hey, Esther, if action is not taken, I want you to think of the consequences. Now, hold on. Pastor, I guess, can we just move on there? There's nothing really for us. No, whoa. Oh, I begged a different friend. Let me just put it this way for a moment. We look at this verse. Esther, you are placed into the kingdom. You at this time, you are here. And who knows if you're not there for such a time as this? Now let us help. Let's just use this, friends, as a little encouragement for us today. You ready for this? Buckle your seatbelt here for just a moment. There is a generation of Christians. It's not old, it's not young, but there are those that will so live in a negative light. They so live in a light of boy, I'm just telling you, I wouldn't want to have kids in these days. It's just so dark and it's so wicked. Boy, I'm telling you, I'm glad I'm close to going on. Boy, I'm just telling you, it's almost this down and depressive and almost this, well, we've done our time and good luck going in 2022 because, boy, politics are just so wicked and nobody tells the truth and everybody's unfair and everybody lives himself and even religion, boy, it's just, and almost they get in this light of well, it's over, it's doom and gloom. But if we thought about Mordecai's words, maybe God has you and I here for such a time as this. Maybe there's a reason you and I didn't live through the 1910 and 20s and up through the 30s and 40s. And some might have been born here in the 50s and 60s. But yeah, I want you to comprehend today, you and I are here in 2022 for a reason. And you are talking to a man that is 38 years old. And I am not going to just sit back in my house and just get a bunch of food and bar the doors and get our 12-gauge shotgun out and stock up on bullets because, well, we're living in the end times. Do I believe we're living in the end times? Without a doubt. But my God never told me to prepare for the Antichrist. He told me to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I'm not about to give up on the young kids in this class, in this church, in our youth group. They could be some of the greatest preachers to ever preach, the greatest hymn writers to ever live, the greatest missionaries. I'm not just going to sit back and discourage them, telling them about the good old days in America. No, friend, you and I are here for a reason. And that reason is the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we can either get on board or sit at home and soak up MSNBC and be depressed for the rest of our lives. But friend, I'm here to tell you, I refuse. It is time that you and I stop getting back and depressed and all down and, oh, did you see the church down the street? Did you see what they did? Did you hear about, oh, politicians, so-and-so? Friend, let me tell you something. I vote every time. I'm going to send out. I'm going to get the word out. But I'm here to tell you, who is in the White House is not going to change this country. It is going to be the very gospel of Jesus Christ. Hey, Esther, you can't be selfish. Jesus said, hey, Christian, you can't be selfish. It's going to take some courage. Scared without a doubt. Gave away a tract about 2 weeks ago. Person handed it back. I thought they were going to be rude, didn't want it, but they go to another church. In that moment, it's kind of, we've been there. Rick, Brother Cox, you've been there. Gave a tract before, get it back. Oh, it's awkward. It's weird. It's, I guess I'll wait a little while. No, let me tell you something, friend. Indianapolis has great people in it. There's going to be a lot of good people in hell. You know what this surrounding area needs? Is some selfless Christians like you and me that gets the gospel out. We can't think about ourselves. It's coming, friend. Well, what if God doesn't come back in 100 years? He may not. He can do what he wants. He's God. No man knoweth the hour. But what if he does? Great. What if he doesn't come back for another 100 years? So what do we do? Well, let me put it this way. Nobody in 100 years, whether he comes back or not, is going to be in this auditorium that's in this auditorium at this very moment. You plan on living 138? You got bigger faith than I do. Selfless. If action is not taken, there's going to be some consequences. Look at verse number 15. Then Esther bade them return to Mordecai this answer. If I'm going to go do this, Mordecai, here's what you're going to do. Verse number 16. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me. Neither eat or drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I give in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, wow, I perish. And Mordecai, if I'm going to do this, it's time to get spiritual for a moment. I have to move quickly here because I've got a couple points that I'm just telling you. We're going to be encouraged here in just a minute, but I want you to think about this. Sometimes in life, we can absolutely go through the motions, and also we forget about God. Like, we often get so physically ready to come to church that we never got spiritually ready. We walk in the doors checking the March Madness scores and who's playing this afternoon more than we do checking up with God of what's our heart like walking in here. And then all of a sudden our marriages are falling apart. Just mad at people in church. We didn't like this. They didn't do this right. They said this. They hurt me. Mad at work. Mad at our employer. Mad at, oh, just, and we're upset. How about we step back like, hold on. It's great we're in our Bible and it's great we pray. And it's great we're in church and praise the Lord, we're tithing. But aren't we spiritual people? Esther's going to walk in there no matter what. She's determined. I mean, we get that from the end. What a woman. Like, I'm going to walk in there, and if I perish, I perish. She said, first, I want you to stop in 3 days and 3 nights. We're going to fast, and we want you to fast. Friend, at Cross Point Baptist Church, and it's not just us. I am Baptist through and through, but I am here to tell you, but Steve, we will go through the motions. But Mark, we'll go through the motions. Deacons meeting, Wednesday night, Sunday night, 3 to 5, baby. Be in Sunday school, sing the songs. Ben, lead us in a hymn, come up, preach. It's 11:44. Pastor's usually done around 11:59, 12:01. Boom, done, pray, out the door. Pastor Dan, get the doors, let's go out. All of a sudden, we went through, hold on. Went through all the motions. But can I ask us today, where's God? VBS. Missions conference. Here we go. Let's prepare. Let's get it ready. Okay, everybody, dig in. Let's pray. Let's take a Wednesday night. Pastor Dan, praise the Lord. Taking 2 Wednesday nights, leading us into a mode of getting ready for revival. Because I'm here to tell you, friend, listen, that is what we need today. There are literally hundreds of thousands, millions in America that are meeting right now. They're singing the hymns. They're hearing the preaching. Their kids are in Sunday school in the nurseries. We're talking about millions. But is it making a difference? Are we going through the motions? Are we singing the songs we've always sung and we're going through and, well, they're here and great and okay, good to see you, and are we truly meeting with God? I'm gonna go anyways. Here's what Esther, I love this. Let's stop for a minute. And I want you to pray. I want you to fast. And if I perish, I perish. But we're gonna know it's the Lord's will. Verse number 17, watch it with me. So Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther had commanded. Chapter 5, verse 1, now it came to pass on the third day. Now they've already fasted. Here we go. You ready for this? That Esther put on a royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so. Here we go. The king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court. How nervous she must have been that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hands. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Now, hold on. Everybody stop right here. Everybody's going to want to keep reading. We're going to get to that. Okay, it's a really good part coming up here. But the last 3 chapters are action-packed. Read them on your old time or come back next Sunday. We're going to dig in. But I want to stop right here and just say, Esther enters in. Yeah, there's no doubt how nervous she must have been. And here he is, the king, and he reaches out his scepter, and Esther comes up, and she touches it. It must be that the queen or the king was pleased to see her. I mean, it's been 30 days. He knew this must have been important. And he reaches out, and she lives. She's allowed to live. Say, man, that's literally, if we stop right here, like, let's have invitation. And we're not going to, so hold on. Denny, do not buck that Bible up. I'm here to tell you. Now watch, we'll be done here in just a minute. But watch this now. if we ended right there, it's the perfect Hallmark movie ending. This is all that she lived. Wow, oh, this is so great. But just a minute. Before we get there, you got to understand, this took real courage. I mean, this is not something to overlook. This woman was up for a task that nobody was up for. She says, okay, pastor, great. So we have courage. Okay, is that it? We're supposed to have courage? Let me tell you something, friend. The day and age you and I live, it's not as easy. It's not a political speech, but I'm here to tell you, our country is changing. We're changing, friend. Cancel culture of the day, they're out for blood. The cancel culture of today is after our Savior. This critical race theory is changing Gen Z. I've seen it with my own eyes. This is critical. The country that you and I live in, 24 million children in America, it's one out of three, live in a home without any male influence, no father. As many children are being raised or cared for by grandparents than they are single dads in our country. We live in a culture that 15 years ago stood against homosexuality and now accept it. They accept it. 55% of LGBTQ go to church on Sundays. We're living in a society that thinks our kids should be able to choose their gender at 3 and get an abortion without parental consent at the age of 14. You and I live in a society that will praise Allah and condemn Jesus. We live in a society that praises and mocks pornography and alcohol and the legalizing of marijuana. We live in a culture where churches are shutting their doors at an alarming rate because we don't have pastors to fill them and because the preference of the day is tearing them apart. 2 Timothy in chapter number 2 warned, "This know also that in perilous times shall come for men." Check it out. This is 2022. "Men shall be lovers of them own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away." Wow, Pastor, where did the Hallmark movie ending go? This is so depressing, and this is so down, and how are we supposed to make it? And that's the America we live in. That's not the America I knew. That's not the America that my grandparents fought for. Let me tell you something, friend. It's the America we live in. It's what we do. We have to be an Esther. It's called courage. I don't know if I have courage. I don't know. Man, that's good, Pastor. That's good for somebody else, but that's not me. Like, I can't do that. That's a good preacher. I'm so glad you're here in Indianapolis because we need a man like you to be courageous for us. Time out. What? No. If you're saved today, would you say amen? Then we're in this thing together. I thought we paid you for that. No. We're part of the body of Christ. This is for all of us. How do we have courage? Well, we can have or be courageous because we can trust in the Lord for guidance. You see, you and I can be courageous because we have our Savior and He is going to, number one, guide us. We have his guidance in our life. The Bible says this in John chapter 16 and verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and will show you the things to come. If you and I are going to have courage, we have to trust God. We can be courageous. Why? Because we have, remember now, the guidance of God. He is going to lead you and I. And when he leads you and I are going to comprehend. You and I can be courageous because it is his will for our life. Now hold on, let me move forward. Which, by the way, is ever on our screen. Number one is guidance. So watch this very carefully. Check it out. So if we're going to be guided by God, then we're going to be courageous because we know it's going to be his will. So are you ready for this? Check it out. Watch, watch, watch. Follow my thought line here. What is guiding you today? Well, it's God. Then why, my fellow Christian, are we so scared? I want to be courageous. I want to be for God. I want to stand up for what's right. But you know what the news is saying, and boy, did you see Russia and Gog and Magog, and I've done the math, and it just seems like, and oh my word, the shelves are empty, and there's all these ships outside of California. We can't get chips in the cars. Oh my word, the chips. We can't buy new cars. Did you see Honda? Did you see Toyota? I'm telling you, I went to Target the other day, and they did not have the type of bread that I buy. Oh, Wonder Bread. I've been buying it for years. It's just so. And all of a sudden, we're like, okay, time out. Like, what's gotten us? Fear? The news, religion, family. You and I will never have the courage of Esther if we are not going to stop and fast and pray and then be guided by our Savior. Number one is guidance. Number two, we can be courageous because we can trust the Lord for protection. Secondly is trust. Psalm chapter 27 and verse number 5. From the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of the presence of the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Comprehend this. You and I can have courage because we can trust God. Let me ask you something. Are you hurt today? Life is tough. Life's not fair. Have you ever felt like in your life, now just be honest, you know, don't raise your hand, but have you ever felt like you can't get a win? You ever had that? It's sunshine and rainbows and butterflies about everybody else's life, and it's raining on you. Can't get a win in your marriage, can't get a win with your kids, can't get a win at work. Everybody else got a raise. I didn't get a raise. Everybody else getting promoted. I didn't get promoted. Everybody else is going on vacations. I'm not going on vacations. Everybody else's health is good. I got staged, whatever. You ever feel like you just cannot get a win? Ever feel like you just can't trust someone? They've hurt you. They stabbed you in the back. Here, hold on. Before we just go any further, before I just absolutely depress you in this message, let me tell you this. You can trust your Jesus that he will never leave nor forsake thee. He is going to guide you. You can be courageous that he's going to guide you in the right way. But you and I, secondly, can be courageous because we can trust him. But number three, would you write this down? Number three, we can be courageous because we can trust the Lord for strength. The Bible says, let your conversation, let your conduct, behavior be without covetousness and be content with whatsoever things you have. Watch this. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man can do unto me. Okay. Courageous, good, guided, Pastor. Guidance, trust, but I'm still tired. I want all eyes up here for just a second. Watch this. There are a lot of men and women who are in their 60s and their 70s and their 80s in here. I want that generation to look at me for just a moment. The Gen X, the greatest generation, just look at me for just a moment. I want you to think about this. You look at our generations and say, you can't be tired. You just, You're 38. Like, you're just getting started. Like, you got energy. Like, you get in the pulpit. Come on, let's go. Man, I love that. It's encouragement. But I want to encourage you today for a moment. Don't you give up. Don't you throw in the towel. Well, I put in my time. But you're not part of the great cloud of witnesses. We didn't have your funeral this past week. Don't have a funeral for your spirit. Don't get in a mindset, well, the younger people, they got it. I don't understand. In our days, it was groovy, and then it was cool, and I don't understand the lingo of the day. I don't understand them getting in the pulpit, and they say this. They carry a Bible on an iPad. I can't do that. I don't understand this. I heard somebody, they literally spelled Twitter, T-W-E-E-T-R, tweeter, and I was like, oh, bless your heart. But anyways, I don't understand the tweeter. Okay, okay. Wait, hold on. Let me help you for a second. That's okay. Don't worry about it. I messed up. I don't know how to do Facebook. Who cares? Why do you have a flip phone? We'll help you. Okay. Like, we'll help you. Bless your heart. Okay. We'll get you. Hold on. Is your strength only found in your physical ability to do something? Or is your strength in God? Several years ago, we were at a place called Knott's Berry Farm, kind of like a Six Flags or Disney World. And I remember we had all of our kids there, five kids. It was at this place where we have a double stroller, but we had it for our twins. And the older three, they're having to walk all day. We're walking all day, and my middle child, London, she got really tired, like really tired. And we're probably about 2 o'clock, so it's getting hot. It's in Southern California. And she's giving out. There's not room in the stroller. They're all fighting. They're all arguing. I just paid $15 for a Coke. I'm not in the best mood, you know what I mean? And it's 2 o'clock. And we're not, bless God, we are not leaving until it shuts down. We are getting our money's worth. You will have a good attitude or we will be, never mind. Anyways, this is what we're going through. And so we finally got to this place where it's like, she's done. Like, I mean, London's, she's done. She's a tough little girl. They said, Lennon, we have to keep going. My legs are so tired, and I just want, ice cream. You know kids. It's just, they were done. And I said, Carrie, here, you take this. You push the stroller. And I said, Lennon, get on my back. So I got her on my back, and we begin to walk. Went to the next ride. We stood in line. I held her on my back the whole time. We get done. We go on the ride. It's great. As soon as we come out of that ride, guess what she wants? She wants back on Dad's back. I'm like, Carrie, it's your turn. You know, I'm just joking. So I put her on my back, and we keep walking. And for the rest of that afternoon, until I was completely wore out, I carried that little girl on my back. Can I tell you this? For a little, probably at that time, 5-year-old, I would say, care somewhere right in there, it completely changed her outlook at what she was presently involved in. Her mindset at that time was, I'm tired, and I hate it. But look at the rides. I don't care. I want to go on the rides. But look at the cotton candy. Please don't. Another $15. I don't want cotton candy. Thank you, God. Okay. And I said, I don't want this. And I just, okay, get on my back. Ooh. Got her a ride. Got her popcorn. Got her cotton candy. Got fine. But the more she was on my back, the more she desired to be on my back. Do you know what our Abba Father is telling you today? It's not about your physical strength. It's about the strength I'll give you. And I'm going to carry you. Let me tell you something. Adults, friends, college students, teenagers, moms, dads, husbands, wives. When you let God start carrying you, your outlook on life is going to totally change. When you let God start carrying your burdens, it's not, life's not fair, and nobody treats me right. I didn't get the job. I didn't get the raise. My kids are mistreated. I didn't get this. I want this. I don't even want to have. All of a sudden, God says, why don't you give it to me? Fine. Lift me up, God. And God lifts you up. It's like, oh. Love, grace, mercy, peace, courage. Because we begin to realize we're not doing this on our own. We've got our Father. He's going to lead you and I and help you and I. Friend, do you need to be carried today? Well, no, but I'm just telling you. Okay, we'll stop right there. You need to be carried. Well, no, it's because you need to be carried. Well, no, it's because I was hurt. Why don't we give that to God? Well, and my divorce, it was, why don't we give that to God today? Well, my teenager, well, this next world, well, the generation we live in. Did you hear about our president? Oh, and the gas prices. Time out. That's where we find our courage? No, hold on, church. That's where we find our courage? No, we find it in him. He guides us. We trust him. When we trust him, sometimes it gets dark and gloomy. But Miller, not an easy week for you. Lost his dad this past week. It's tough. Grieving. His teen is in this room somewhere. This is tough. This is hard. Pastor Dan, we had a funeral for a 38-year-old lady this week who left her only son, Andrew. I'm not sure if those parents are here today, grandparents, but let me tell you this. That's not easy. We got done with that funeral. Carrie and I both have struggled with that. 38, that's our age. I got in my office, shut the door. I just had to have a moment for a second. Man, I just let it go for a moment. This is not the way it's supposed to be. I'm not going to get down and depressed. Let me tell you something. And that's the moment that God says, son, you doing this on your own? You're going to let me carry you. That's why I say, okay, God, let's go. That's where we're going to find our courage, friend. It's not going to be in us trying to play church. It's going to be us being the church and relying on the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when you let him carry you, your outlook at life changes. And the more he carries you, the more you will want him to carry you. Esther, oh, Esther, let's have that kind of courage.